We're back on the record then, and Mr. Johnson, you may complete your direct exam.
Thank you, Special Master.
Dr. Kemper, before lunch, you were discussing the neuropathology of mercury toxicity as compared to the neuropathology of autism.
Yes.
Now, petitioners have presented a hypothesis in this case that rather than a direct toxic effect, it is inorganic, persistent inorganic mercury in the brain causing inflammation that leads to autism. Mm-hmm. And they've relied primarily on work by Vargas to support mm-hmm. this hypothesis. Mm-hmm. Have you reviewed the work of Drs. Vargas, Zimmerman, and Pardo?
Yes.
And just for the record, Vargas is Petitioner's Master List 69. There's a Pardo article at Petitioner's Master List 72. And a Zimmerman article at Petitioner's Master List 555. Dr. Kemper, do you personally know Drs. Zimmerman and Pardo?
Yes, I do, particularly Dr. Zimmerman. Okay.
Mm. And have you discussed their work with them?
Yes, I have.
In fact, during one of the meetings that we had with you, did you inform us that you had spoken to Dr. Pardo about his work?
Yes, I did.
Okay. What can you describe that conversation?
Well, I met him at a meeting that we had convened for autism, and he had given a paper there on his work on the immune system, and I was particularly interested to hear his views from himself as what he thought the relationship between his innate immune response, neuroimmune response, was to the pathological changes we had seen in the autistic brain.
And during that meeting, did you recommend that we speak to Dr. Pardo?
Yes. Okay.
And did you recently receive a letter from Dr. Pardo?
Yes.
Okay. Are the statements contained in Dr. Pardo's letter consistent with the discussion that you had with him?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Kemper, what is microglial activation?
Well, that means that the glial cells are more prominent within the tissue. In general, the nucleus may be larger, but particularly the cytoplasm and the processes are enlarged.
On page 13 of his report, I believe we're pulling it up for you now. Actually, maybe not. On page 13 of his report, Dr. Kinsborn lists the characteristics of neuroinflammation as follows. He says it involves edema, activation of microglia, and local invasion of immune cells from the circulation. Would you agree that this is an accurate description of neuroinflammation?
Only the glial cell response.
Did Dr. Pardo and his colleagues indicate anywhere in their publications that edema is present in neuroinflammation?
No. And we've found no evidence of it either.
And did Dr. Pardo and his colleagues indicate that local invasion of immune cells from the circulation occurs in neuroinflammation?
No.
Would that be consistent with Dr. Pardo's findings?
Yeah, he reported the lack of an adaptive immune response, which would be those cells.
Okay, so the local invasion of immune cells refers to an adaptive immune response.
That's correct.
So do you believe that Dr. Kinsborn's description of neuroinflammation is incorrect?
Yes.
Dr. Kemper, is microglial activation present during normal brain development?
Yes, it is.
So just to be clear, microglial activation, it's not specific to the presence of a neurotoxin such as mercury?
That is correct.
Does Dr. Pardo say whether it is possible that developmental abnormalities present since gestation could produce microglial activation?
Yes, he did.
And does Dr. Pardo state that prenatal neurodevelopmental abnormalities are consistent with neuroinflammation?
Yes.
To your knowledge, does the Vargas paper also mention the possibility that activated microglia reflects continued patterns of abnormal development that began prenatally?
Certainly.
Doctor, to your knowledge, can microglial activation be a beneficial process?
Yes.
And did the Vargas paper discuss in any place the idea that microglial activation can act as a neuroprotectant?
Yes, it was a major point.
So to your knowledge, could microglial activation be a response to a disease rather than its cause?
Yes.
And based on your review of Dr. Pardo's work and his letter, does he assume that microglial activation is causing autistic symptoms?
No.
I want to talk now a little bit about astrocytes. On page 17 of his report, Dr. Kinsborn states that activated microglia could kill astrocytes with friendly fire. Does that statement suggest to you that part of Dr. Kinsborn's hypothesis is that astrocytes are dying?
Yes.
And on that same, on page 13 of his report, Dr. Kinsborn called gliosis the sequel of the death of astrocytes and inflammation. Is that a correct description of gliosis?
No.
What is gliosis?
Gliosis is enlargement of the glial cell body, its nucleus, as well as the cytoplasm, more prominent processes, and more readily stained with the glial fibrillary acidic protein.
Do you see astrocyte death with gliosis?
No.
So on page, when Dr. Kinsborn on page 13 of his report says that gliosis, the presence of gliosis in autistic individuals provides dramatic support for his hypothesis. Do you agree with that?
No.
Based on your review of the Vargas work, did they see increased or decreased activation, astrocyte activation in autistic brains?
Increased.
Okay. Is this finding consistent with Dr. Kinsborn's hypothesis of astrocyte death?
No. There was no death reported there.
And based on the work of Vargas and Dr. Pardo and Dr. Pardo's letter, is it your opinion, or in your opinion, is astrocyte activation consistent with Dr. Kinsborn's suggestion of astrocyte death?
No.
When he testified, Dr. Kinsborn stated that astrocyte death may not be necessary to his model, but maybe just malfunction or inactivation of astrocytes would be enough. Is increased astrocyte activation, as shown in the Vargas study, consistent with malfunction of astrocytes that Dr. Kinsborn testified about?
Not that I know of.
So would you say, based on your review of the Vargas work, that their findings are inconsistent with Dr. Kinsborn's statements that astrocytes are dead or no longer active in autistic brains?
Yes.
Doctor, did the authors of the Vargas paper try to correlate neuroinflammation to regressive autism?
No. As a matter of fact, they made a point that that several of their patients had regressive autism, and there was no difference in their immune response between those that did and those that did not.
Okay, so just to be clear, they did look for a correlation.
They did.
And they found neuroinflammation in both the regressive and non-regressive cases.
That's right, no correlation.
Did Drs. Pardo, Zimmerman, or Vargas conclude anywhere in their articles that neuroinflammation is the cause of autism?
No.
I'd like to now ask you a few questions about the Lopez-Hurtado article that the petitioners have discussed, and this is a petitioner's master list. 446. Have you had a chance to review that paper?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And do you know what journal that article was published in?
Yes, I will. It's the American Journal of Biochemistry and Biotechnology.
Have you ever read an article published in that journal?
No.
Did you try to find this article on your own?
Yes, I did.
Where did you look for it?
I looked through the entire Harvard Medical School library system.
And did you look anywhere else for it?
No.
Okay. And did you find it in the Harvard Medical School?
No.
Does the absence of the journal, or the fact that you couldn't find the journal at the Harvard Medical School Library, indicate anything to you about the significance of this journal?
Well, they have the second largest library in the country. For some reason, they didn't carry it.
In the Lopez-Hurtado study, what areas of the brain did the researchers look at?
They were interested in speech-related areas. And area 44 is part of Broca's area, which is the motor speech area. The back end of area 22 mm-hmm. is, I presume, they call it Wernicke, and the top end of the superior temporal gyrus is the angular gyrus, area 39, and those are the areas that they looked at.
Why would these areas be of interest to these researchers?
Because of the involvement of language dysfunction in autism.
Could you briefly summarize what the what results the researchers reported in this study?
Well, in general, they reported they thought there was a decreased number of neurons, increased number of glial cells, and accelerated astrocyte lipofuscin accumulation.
Did you review the methodology that these researchers applied?
Yes, I did.
Did you identify any problems with their methodology?
Yes, I thought there were some problems which are not addressed, which are problems.
And could you give some examples of those
sure.
problems?
The in the critically referred journals, they will want those areas carefully specified and to be dead sure that you're in that area to have. Rather than just taking a block from some place and assuming it's there. So without proper cytoarchitectonic definition of the area, you can't be sure that each one of those measurements was made in the same place. The other problem, and that's of cell types and cell density, the other problem is that the lipofuscin pigment varies from cytoarchitectonic area to cytoarchitectonic area, which is another reason to be certain that you're in the proper area. And there was no reassurance, no assurance in that paper that, you know, that they had done that.
And were there any problems with the cell counting methods?
Yes, there were. That method would not be accepted in any of our critically referred journals.
Dr. Kimber, did the Lopez-Hurtado study did it study microglia?
No.
How can you tell that it didn't?
Didn't mention it.
What were the researchers staining for in that study?
They stained for standard stains for which they measured neuron densities and possibly glial cells. They also stained with GFAP, which is a specific stain for glial cells, and they stained for lipofuscin pigment.
So when this paper refers to glia in the results section, is it fair to say that they may be referring to astrocytes by the term glia?
I would presume so, the way it's written, yeah.
So this study really doesn't tell us about microglial activation that was reported
no.
in the Vargas study.
No.
This paper reports decreased neuronal density in two brain areas.
Yeah.
You may have already touched on this, but do you believe the methods used in the study were appropriate for assessing neuronal density?
No, I do not.
And given the flaws in the cell counting methods that you identified, how much confidence do you have in the results of this paper?
Well, it's a very interesting idea, and I would like to see it done with proper technique.
This paper also reports increased density of astrocytes. Would that finding, supposing it's correct, be
yeah.
compatible with astrocyte death?
No.
And Doctor, in your opinion, would this paper be accepted in a reputable journal?
No.
And does this study in any way add to the work performed by Drs. Pardo, Vargas, and Zimmerman?
No.
And would you personally rely on this study for information
no.
about the neuropathological
no,
characteristics
I,
of autism?
No, I'd be very careful about that.
Doctor, just to wrap up, I want to summarize your opinions on Dr. Kinsborn's neuroinflammation hypothesis. First of all, do you believe that microglia are damaging the brain in autism?
No.
And what is your main reason for that belief?
Because its role in the neuroimmune response, which according to them is very consistent with the widespread defects in brain development that we had noticed.
And do you believe it more likely than not that microglia are destroying astrocytes in autistic individuals?
No.
And what is your main reason for that belief?
That there's no evidence for the loss. There's no good, credible evidence for the loss.
Do you believe it more likely than not that astrocytes are dying in autistic individuals?
I don't believe that.
And do you believe it more likely than not that astrocytes are inactive in autistic individuals?
It's the literature is quite the reverse.
Do you believe that the roles of microglia and astroglia or astrocytes in autism are more likely than not explained by prenatal factors?
Yes.
Do you believe that Dr. Pardo's work supports Dr. Kinsborn's mechanism of postnatal and neuroinflammation as the cause of autism?
No.
Do you believe that neuroinflammation is a likely explanation for any of the structural changes that you and others have observed in the brain of autistics?
Yes.
You believe that neuroinflammation is the cause of those changes?
No. Sorry. I must have...
Right. Let me make sure the question is clear. Yeah, Do you believe that neuroinflammation is a likely explanation for any of the structural changes you and others have observed in the brain of autistics?
No. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Do you believe it is more likely that any neuroinflammation that may be present in the brains of autistics is a response to the developmental abnormalities you and others have observed in the brain of autistics?
Yes.
And do you hold the opinions that you've stated here today to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
How much time would you like, Mr. Powers?
Excuse me?
How much time do you...
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes simply to get your slides up?
And if we say bottom of the half hour, then maybe that's like 7 or 8 minutes, but if we did it at 2:30, so thanks.
All right, we're in recess until 2:30.
No, there's a gun.